Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we simply talk about every single item, enemy, and everything in The Binding of Isaac, something that sounded like a joke when we started, but is becoming increasingly true. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a guy who has genuinely changed up that old silhouette lately, the Batman of podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hello, the punchline of podcasting, Will Hughes.
Okay, so Gary, my initial defensiveness suggested, obviously, that you were simply making fun of me. But of course, you're referring to, what is that, a character sometimes also known as the daughter of the Joker?
I think it's the Joker's girlfriend.
Oh, like the one he replaces Harley Quinn with in some timelines?
Yeah.
When Harley's too moral and good?
When
Harley has become too marketable to be a villain.
Yes, and to not be in a relationship with Poison Ivy.
Yes.
A popular ship.
I mean, it's not just a ship, man. That's text in the cartoon.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's also text in the comics a bunch, too.
Yeah.
It's a... Yeah, it started as a popular ship and became a popular canon thing, which I'm sure there's a TV trope for.
Yeah, probably. Descended trope or word of God. I don't know. It's all Bruce Timm and Paul Dini's fault.
Yeah. But then Joker was like, I need a girlfriend who is a clown. Like,
and
that is non-negotiable.
And who doesn't have self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And will not become a breakout character that we will then have to, like, remove all the domestic violence connotations from in order to make them properly marketable to the people.
I think that was the big one. I think they needed to create a character that was so unlikable that there was no way they could break out. So they made Punchline.
Yeah. And is she wearing, like, a clown costume is my guess, but maybe with some emphasis on, if I had to guess the heiress?
She's kind of like she's a lady of Asian descent. She is kind of like a black and white clown.
Brave.
So it's like a little bit more of like a kabuki. Well, the Joker's progressive.
That is another joke in the Harley Quinn cartoon, is that he's kind of performatively left-wing woke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny cartoon. They swear too much in that. We talked about this before.
They swear
Everyone just
a
says
lot.
Fuck too often.
Yeah, yeah. Batman say fuck, I think.
I like because you deploy it as a joke. Like,
sure.
The idea of Batman just being like, fucking Scarecrow. I love that. Like, I think that's funny.
I would, if I was Bruce Wayne, billionaire industrialist with a nightlife, and I was like, it's a fucking Scarecrow plot. Oh, these always, fuck.
I'm going to see my dad again.
Why can't it just be the guy who sets fires?
Yeah, I love punching Firebug, or even one of the ones that can't set me on fire. There's a whole bunch of guys that are just a guy. Let me punch the ventriloquist again. He just has the guys.
Could I just get something in a mild Zazz, please?
Yeah, I would like to punch a man. Would you
Zazz
stop setting me on fire or gassing me?
I know this is selfish, but Zazz is never going to stab me. The worst that happens is he stabs more other people than I would prefer. But I'm not going to get dosed with a gas that makes me see my own dick grow huge and eat me again.
By which you mean Robin, of course.
Of course, my own dick, yes. That's how I refer to him.
Yeah, he's the, you got a
he's
big
mine.
Swinging dick. And its name is Nightwing. Nightwang.
We got there, man. We got there. That was the button. That was the button on the whole scene.
If people like this show.
Yeah.
Speed
run strats.
I would like it if Batman in the new Batman movie, everything was the same except Batman swore a lot.
That would, and not in the way that they swear in the Harley Quinn cartoon, where it is just every third word and it's just because that's how they're writing it.
Yeah.
It's just like, he gets to a situation, he looks down at like the 90 guys with shotguns, and he just goes,
fuck. You know, or he gets to a crime scene, he's like, shit. You know, and then Gordon would look over and be a little surprised. I was like, okay, I guess we're doing it. Yeah, man, good reaction. This is fucked up.
Yeah, this one's bad. I didn't want to see this today.
Fuck yeah, I didn't either. You know, let's get this shit done. And damn, Batman.
You're Harley Quinn, man. You're Harley Quinn. Too much.
Yeah, I know. everyone quins a little bit. Yeah, that's why you had to bring in Punchline.
That's me. I'm the punchline of podcasting. It's a complicated phrase because of the various connotations. Gary, it's Everything to Guppy, where we talk about monsters in The Binding of Isaac, genuinely.
We talk about a lot of things in The Binding of Isaac, which I like. You've been playing Isaac?
Not lately.
Yeah, me either.
I had a run. When we got the Switch 2, I was playing a bunch, and then they put out other games for the Switch 2 and also Bellatro, so it kind of moved back to the wayside.
Yeah. I just finished up Chapter 1, The Meager, in the Final Fantasy Tactics remake.
Hey, fucking A, how's it hitting you?
It hit me good. I needed those quality of life and balance changes. I had the moment of, like, you know, I would like to support Square doing shit like this.
Sure.
You know, I never buy it when they put out bad stuff, which is all the time. So yes, I just buy it when they put out good stuff now.
They put out so much fucking bad stuff.
All they do is put out garbage. So when they're doing something good, I want to support them. But, like, the fast forward, really good.
The fast forward is vital.
The voice acting is good.
It's all like, really so good. Far, like, yeah. It gives, like, a lot of nuance to Delita specifically. And even Ramza. Delita? Like, I wrote about this, but, like, Ramza comes off as way so much less of a dipshit now.
Yeah. Like, he's just a naive kid. And then even, like, so I just finished Chapter 1. So, like, yeah, Argath, though, who's a piece of shit, sells the lines really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously a piece of shit. You're not supposed to like him. But, like, the whole monologue during the fort with that between the two of them was really good. Like, I never want voice acting added to something, and this, I think, is excellent. So,
yeah.
Really enjoying it.
Through it, too, which is the most important thing anyone can ever do in a video game.
And also, God, I remember when they used to, like, Square is so capable of doing a good story where it's like, oh, this has subtext and stuff. There's themes in this.
There's themes in it.
They can do it. Yeah. Like, I mean, characters lie to each other. There's hidden information.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these things that you want from words.
There's a guy named Dice Darg. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, there's no Dice Darg. There's Zalbag with his Scott Weiland look. He looks exactly like Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots.
Gary, I am so glad that you stopped yourself from saying Scott Stapp.
Yeah, I was very close to saying Scott Stapp. They're really interchangeable Scots to me.
I
guess they are different. One's dead.
I can't... In my head, I don't know what either one of them looks like, except now they just look like the little sprite of Zalbag.
One of them looks exactly like the sprite of Zalbag.
Uh-huh.
The other one's a big question mark. Like, one of them, I don't know what they look like.
And that's Scott Stapp.
Yeah. But Scott Weiland, the deceased Scott Weiland, looks exactly like Zalbag. Like, I think that he might have died when Zalbag died in the game.
Oh, and then he came back as a revenant? Spoilers.
Yeah, but then he died again.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the real Scott Weiland died.
Yeah. So what have we been playing? Yeah. FF Tactics, really good. Mm-hmm. I kind of admire that they did not fix some of the, like the pointlessness of errands, like the fundamental pointlessness of errands.
Yep. You just get to have your little guys say cute stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, touch and go for a moment, but then we made it.
Which they always say.
Yeah, little fucking dopes. And you can only, you know, put out characters you don't need to use for those. Like, it has to basically be like, I don't need you. I won't use you. Go on this thing.
End up with a 9999 JP in Squire, buddy. You knock yourself out.
Yep. Never going to touch you again. They didn't fix there are badly balanced fights. The way that the XP curve in that game works is really weird because most of the story battles revolve around killing one target and they're difficult. So for story battles, you don't get very much advancement. Like you alpha striking the target is almost always the right thing to do.
Yes.
And those. So you're going to get all of your like XP from like in between battles and stuff. It's weird.
Didn't make the bonus dungeon any less obnoxious.
Yeah. Thing fucking sucks. You can probably still recruit monsters and there's no point to doing that bullshit.
There's no point. I fielded a chocobo once and I was like, huh. But there's not enough end game. And if I have an actual criticism of the game, it's that I think if I was making it, there'd be battles where you could run seven or eight people.
Mm.
because there's so much build variety and so little incentive to have a deep bench.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. It's also a lot of the best classes you unlock pretty quick, which is a weird kind of thing. Like, it's cool that you can go into wider build variety, but, like, you know, a black mage is pretty good for the whole game if you want it to be. Like, you can just blast things forever. Eventually you get math. Yeah. Math, I don't like doing the homework up front on math.
I never fucked around checking
everyone's level and shit. Like,
I came to really enjoy it and just being like having my little nuke man over in the corner, just like, yeah, he'll kill Ramza, but he'll also kill like four guys.
Yeah, it's pleasing. Like, I've done, if I hadn't done it before, I would like it. I just eventually got sick of reading everybody's stats.
Oh, Cloud starts with his special sword now.
Yeah, and appropriately leveled. Looking forward to that. I have two different kinds of Final Fantasy Tactics playthroughs since I've played this game a bunch. It's either all canon characters or all original characters.
Okay.
You know, I either do like all the guest and named characters or I'm all like, Rafa, this is my squad.
All the time.
I can't wait to see what they do with Rafa and Malik. But I think I'm going to do a story character one this time. So I'm looking forward to trying Cloud now that he's actually going to be leveled up.
I mean, there is incentive to do a story one because those characters get dialogue after they become party members. They will, in battles, if you bring them in, if you bring the right character in, they will have, like, conversations and stuff, so.
Melia Duel.
It's so mean of them to give you Melia Duel after they give you Cid.
It's mean of them to give you Cid.
It's so like mean of them to give you Cid sense. Because there's no... you can run... Boy, this is probably really fun for people who've never played Final Fantasy Tactics. They, at the start of the fourth and final chapter of the game, they give you a character who is so much more powerful than every other character by, like, a geometric factor.
Yeah. It's basically, you can use them if you want to win, or you can not use them if you want to keep playing the game, kinda.
Yeah.
You know? I usually just take his equipment. Have you ever fucked with Beowulf?
No, I did all the little side content in this run, but then I was like, and now you and your dragon girlfriend get to live in the menu with
live
the good
in the Chocobo Fuck Ranch. Yeah. Try Beowulf. Like, he's awesome. Like, he's a really fun
Who
cool
are
character.
You, my
like,
fucking 10th grade English teacher? Fuck off.
you should really try Grendel. Wait, are your kids trying Grendel?
Yeah, kids are trying Grendel. We're trying to get kids hooked on alternate narratives where you see from the villain's point of view.
Yeah, it's a gateway drug to visual
novels. We're
gonna
load you up
sadly.
With some wide Sargasso Sea.
Yep, and it's how you eventually get into Wizardry 2.
Gary,
Grendel's a good name for a street drug.
It is Wizardry 4.
Okay, Wizardry 4. Yeah,
you really Grendel. You really should. I busted out that wide Sargasso Sea reference, the alternate Jane Eyre told from Bertha's point of view, and then you got the wrong wizardry. So I think I'm winning this episode.
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on how much faith you, like how much stock you put into trivia.
Or knowledge. Just knowledge.
No, I mean, what is trivia but knowledge? Oh. Like memorized facts.
You know, ooh, I got my WandaVision tingles.
Yeah, you can just memorize stuff. Anybody can memorize things. You just have to look at it a bunch.
I know there are some sad things about the complete kind of cultural collapse of the whole Marvel machine.
Mm-hmm.
It is in many ways better than the time when people were telling me that the WandaVision line was good.
It made a lot of screenwriters jizz their jeans.
They really did come very hard over the line, what is grief but love persisting?
They were telling you the line was good, but also that it was a real problem because of all the jizzed up jeans that showed up. Like, it was a dry cleaner's nightmare from all the front pants just being stocked up and sticky.
But like, look at the current, like look at LA and Hollywood right now. These dry cleaners have no business. They are going out of business because the jizz factor has fallen way off a roof.
I know. We need another character to come in. We need another Matt Shakman. To come in with a line that makes everybody cream their gyms. And
who was your favorite?
I bet it's going to happen in Endgame.
I'm sorry to change the subject, but I did want to, as a guy who's very into these teams, who was your favorite member of Jizz Factor?
Of Jizz Factor?
Yeah.
I was a real big fan of Shatterskeet.
Oh, that's fun. I'm a multiple climax man guy.
Yeah, multiple climax man is really good. He's also funny. You know, you get the first climax and then like, whoa, here comes another one. You ever surprise your wife with that second, like the surprise second orgasm? Like,
no.
You thought you were done. Kabam!
Nope. Oh, wait. From me or to her?
Either or.
Then I will say yes with no further details. Also, I don't necessarily like surprise in this context.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I hate. Yeah, that's true. It's
a delightful, previously cleared as okay surprise.
A gift with implied consent previously established.
Yeah.
Through a lifetime of carefully negotiated boundaries.
Exactly, Gary. You have to be careful with these things. Surprise has bad connotations in this.
Go ahead. It used to just be kind of like absurd for a second. And then people like it was just an internet thing that people said to be gross, which I hated. Well, like I did not like that.
Wasn't it what the Something Awful forums? Isn't that what they define? That was the default.
It replaced it.
Yeah.
When you typed it, it replaced the word. And it's like, you don't need to type in that word all that often in the Something Awful forums.
That is not my experience of the Something Awful forums. Seems like it came up a lot.
And I'm just saying it was, you didn't need to. It did. I'm not saying that it had to, but it was stupid that day.
Yeah.
That is the case, but it sucked. Yeah. Talk about video games, you fucking nerds. You know.
There was some good low-tax stuff going on Blue Sky lately.
Oh, yeah? Did he come back?
He did.
Somehow he returned.
Somehow low tax returned.
No. Guess he was back.
I don't know enough about all of it to like get into it, but people are mad at the CEO of Blue Sky right now over like moderation stuff.
Okay.
And also she's being extremely glib about a lot of it and said something like, "Have you tried a poster strike? I've heard that works," kind of sarcastically. And then Lotax's widow hopped in and was like, this is starting to remind me of something.
That's funny.
Yeah. People are like, yeah, when Lotax's widow is in your mentions saying, huh.
Yeah, this
of course correct.
This reminds you of a fateful day. Yeah, it's no good. You never want to post through it. Yeah, it is a good indicator of suicide.
Yeah, I think that one also had some sort of, maybe we just say unalived.
I can't do it. Sorry.
Gary has drawn his line in the sand.
I hate it. It's so stupid. I can't do it. I think it sucks. Maybe in 45 or whatever, but it's that is my line. I won't say it. It sucks. Doesn't make any sense.
But buddy. Getting too close to the stove.
I know.
Pull hand back from stove. Talk about Monster.
All right.
It's Monster Blitz, where we literally talk about every single monster in The Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
Not for very long.
Good singles on this record. And the videos are pretty good as well. Michael Stipe debuted his bald look. Hey, iconic.
Buddy. Hey, buddy. You're having file underwater flashbacks, dude. That's
God,
how I handle
going.
Vets with PTSD, by the way. Just
yeah, having file underwater flashbacks.
Yep.
And they're just like, I love that podcast. It got me through Fallujah. You know?
I mean, Gary, do you think anyone in Fallujah has ever listened to File Underwater?
Not File Underwater, but I would not. Somebody in Fallujah has listened to a Duck Feed podcast, I bet.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, not File Underwater. Nobody liked like that is a not very listened to show, even though somebody in the Slack was like, that show got me into REM and I have an REM tattoo now. That's an incredible amount of influence.
Yeah, without passing judgment, it's a lot of influence.
It's a good tattoo. Like, it's a classy tattoo. It's not just like REM rules. Thanks, Gary and Kay. And then like and crossed out. And, you know, it's not just that. It's a classy tattoo.
Oh. I've never seen one of those.
Yeah, classy tattoo.
Yeah.
I'll show you mine at some point. I don't show you my classy one. It's a hidden.
More like your assy one.
It's a tattoo on my, or a top hat, rather, on my ass.
Gary, it's skinny.
Yeah. I didn't, never in a million years would I have thought this guy's name was this.
Well, because he's got a lot of skin, is the joke.
Yeah. He's deflated. He has always looked to me, and this is something I got from Northern Lion, like an ice cream cone head. Like he has a head of a melting vanilla ice cream cone.
And this is from the Northern Lion man who hangs out with Chibli?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think this is a gross monster. I think this guy looks really gross.
Yeah. Sorry, Gary. We came perilously close to me revealing I've never intentionally watched Northern Lion for more than 4 seconds to get through a conversation with Brayton while we were living together.
I know that. You didn't have to admit it. I think you've said it. I think you've admitted it before. And I knew that.
Yeah. Information coming in from behind and the front, from both words and memory.
Mm-hmm. Pincer attack. You don't like the YouTube. You're not a YouTube.
I don't really like watching other people play games that much, unless I find those people very funny.
An interesting thing I find is that people who play video games for other people tend not to enjoy watching it. Watching it tend not to enjoy doing it. Like, I don't really like, I enjoy watching it, but I don't like doing it very much. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a thing that I've noticed.
Which goes all the way back to when we were kids. Like, me and John, you know, I stream most nights with my my buddy John, who I've been friends with since we were 10. And a lot of times, if we were renting a game together for, like, a sleepover, I would play, he would watch.
Yeah.
I
used to do that as a kid, too. I get that. That's fun to me. Yeah. I like that.
Like, I don't know. I need to be I need to be active.
Yeah. Yeah, I oftentimes go to a screen for passive. And if I'm playing a video game, I want to be active, but I'm active playing the game. I don't want to keep a conversation going usually.
Yeah. And that's why you watch all my streams, right, Gary? You've been watching the VODs. You know,
there's a first time for everything.
You could watch the VODs.
You got to get on Northern Lion's level is the thing.
What does that mean?
Make streams as entertaining as he does. What do you think it means?
I guess I was looking for a version of that wasn't genuinely insulting.
Was it real mean?
Yeah. That didn't make me feel a little bad. And also think, I think my streams are more entertaining than his.
No, like that's not true, but you're getting there. It's close.
that's so mean, Gary. Thank you. You think he's more entertaining than I am?
I was rewatching a clip today of a thing he did that is genuinely some of the hardest that I've laughed at something. It's not playing a video game, though, to be fair.
What was it?
I mean, so there's a thing called Sporkle.
I don't want to. Nope. Pass.
You would like Sporkle. Like you don't like the name, I understand, but this is genuinely something I think Will would like.
I 100%, 1,000,000% believe you. But for the dignity of my own mind and life, I have to cut you off. Please tell me about Skinny.
Okay. So just describing him, he looks a lot like the Isaacs that we have, the enemies that look like an Isaac.
Sure, but with one little problem.
With a lot of extra skin. His face is melting, and he's got a smile. He looks like he's enjoying it, but the skin is like drooping around his eyes and stuff. Yeah. He's got big jowls.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's literally, like, hanging down off of his face. It looks like, if I dare say, Ozempic belly.
Yes, but on a face.
Yeah.
Like, it does look like Ozempic belly a lot, but on a face, it's gross. This man has Ozempic ass on his face.
If you haven't, and again, Gary and I, neither of us are taking the Ozempic for the weight loss, necessarily.
No.
We're taking it because it is a genuinely pretty good diabetes management medication?
Yeah, we're taking it as intended.
As intended, not as faddish. But you do lose weight when you're on it, and it does come out of the stomach, and that skin is like, whoa, what's going on down here? Oh,
I got all this extra room.
Yeah.
I'm going to stretch out.
Maybe something in an extended upper scrotum?
That's real. That's real.
On a warm day?
That's gross and apt. Yeah, that is what it looks and feels like, and it is gross, and I don't like it about my body.
Yeah, sure. It's like, hey, buddy, you know, stretch marks don't like go away by magic.
It's wild too, because the stretch marks stay, but then there's also like wrinkles. It's the worst of both worlds.
Yeah,
it's not a good look.
It's aesthetically unpleasant in a way I don't mind, but I enjoy a certain amount of ugliness in my presentation, so.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where you could be a model, like a clothes model, but not a bikini model.
That's, you know? Yeah, Gary, exactly. Or a hand model.
Oh, you could always be a hand model.
You specifically.
Yeah. Oh, I could certainly be a hand model. I have beautiful hands. I told you that, I think I've said this before, my grandpa, who was racist in the way that people were racist at the time. My grandpa, generally a good man, not, you know, like my dad, racist. But two things he said is, one, when I was a baby, he looked at my fingers, and he goes, that man's going to play piano or basketball, long fingers. And then my mom wanted to call me Leroy Paul, and he said, that sounds like a black person's name.
Okay.
Don't do it.
All right. So,
yeah.
Wait, you could have been a Leroy?
I could have been a Levi. Levi Paul.
Oh, I thought you said Leroy. Sorry, I was. I do have like four. I do have the Lockhorns that they published recently where Leroy was shirtless.
Oh yeah.
Up on my screen all the time, so I was a little distracted.
Do you think that Ozempic will make its way onto the Lockhorns? It seems topical enough that like Art Surf will have heard about it.
I'm
just kind of curious.
I bet there will. If there has not already been an Ozempic joke in Lockhorns, I bet we will have one within 6 months.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
About the right time scale for how ideas slowly percolate into the mind of the Lockhorns woman, Bunny.
The strip you're talking about with shirtless Leroy, he's happier than I've ever seen him in the comic.
He's at a sports event with his shirt off. A lot of the comments on that one were, the first comment was, never seen him shirtless before, which, fuck yeah, man. I like seeing my own thoughts reflected in the Lockhorns comments.
Can't argue with that. Spitting truth.
But then it was a lot of things about how, why are you so happy? The Jets did bad this weekend. I'm like, okay.
Oh, my God.
It's a beautiful... It's where humanity is happening.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised, you know, in a worse version of humanity would be like, where's Loretta? You know? Or
sure.
Like, can you imagine this at a WNBA game where Loretta would be doing that? You know, that kind of thing?
Oh, you like, you mean like, why aren't we getting a shirtless Loretta?
Yeah.
No, the people in the Lockhorns comments are not big fans of Loretta.
No, it's a very classic. Yeah. They haven't, they're so non-internet poison that they haven't become like mommy brained, you know?
Yeah. But they are kind of like internet brained insofar as they are genuinely often quite misogynistic, but
they're misogynistic. They're like internet brained, like All in the Family is internet brained.
Sure.
Like they're classic internet brained. They're Home Improvement internet brained.
Archie Bunker with a Facebook account. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
my God. Canceled.
Canceled.
Cancel Archie Bunker. Guy walks slowly towards you and leaves short-lasting red creep behind him.
This guy is about as close as we get outside of like, this is a Goomba class enemy. These guys appear, you can fight these guys in your very first room. They have almost no health. And they walk slowly towards you, and even their creep is not a big problem.
Well, they're a variant on the very first Goomba enemy, which I'm like, we did forever ago.
Yeah, the Gaper.
I'm scrolling back to find. Yeah, the regular Gaper, Frowning Gapers and stuff. They introduce these guys, and they're slightly worse because they have creep.
But also they move more slowly.
Yeah. No, they're no big deal. There's a variant that comes up next where I genuinely cannot tell how they're different visually.
Oh, really? It is a color scale difference. What?
Oh, really?
Yes. Skinny, who we're talking about right now, has pink skin. Roddy has a grayish green tint. But that is the only difference between them visually. So that is not particularly nice to your particular cones.
It's pretty ableist.
They should put in one of them colorblind modes.
Once again, Edmund McMoron showing that he doesn't care for strong protons, which is what I am.
I've often said that about your protons.
Yeah. Strong proton.
I wouldn't want to be blasted by a Ghostbuster powered by you.
By a strong proton? Me either. Yeah. Do you think a proton pack hurts if you're a human?
Yes, I think it leaves burns.
I think so too. It looks like fire.
Yeah, they drag it across like the hotel wall and it leaves big char marks.
I guess that's true. Yeah, like those are deadly.
Yeah.
They didn't just invent weapons to kill humans. It can make ghosts.
Why is Walter Peck not getting in here to like seize that stuff for the government to like
for the EPA?
Yeah, so the EPA can finally wage its wars.
I want to do a Ghostbusters story where the Ghostbusters take their proton packs, they shoot living humans, turn them into ghosts who are then already inside the beam.
Yeah.
And do this to make money.
Yeah, like they do just get money.
Find ghost, make ghosts.
Yeah, they do just get money. Like when they catch a ghost, money just pops out of the trap. So
that I am basing this on the NES game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an idea for a Ghostbusters story.
Oh, tell me more.
Yeah, it's like they're going off to like I think it's in my head it's like a Civil War museum, and they get separated. And Ray sees a bed, and he decides, "Well, I'm on the job, but I'm also quite sleepy." And he gets in the bed and goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then the ghost appears above him, and it's a beautiful woman, Gary.
Okay.
And she floats above him, and she floats down, and they look at each other with these, like, tender eyes. And then, Gary, she starts moving lower, and the ghost does an oral on Ray. And we don't see the ghost do the oral. We see his face. Gary, his eyes cross because of how good the oral he's getting from the ghost is.
That's a real Dan Aykroyd reaction to getting oral, I feel like. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Absolutely, and then I'm going to have to do a little check-in.
Okay. Why are they at a Civil War museum? Where does the Civil War come into this?
Oh, okay. So, Gary, this is why we need the check-in. Are you aware I'm just describing a scene from the movie Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very funny that Dan Aykroyd goes, blur, when he gets a blowjob.
He does, and it's consistent throughout the oeuvre.
It seems like something Dan Aykroyd would do in real life.
We don't ever see his character in Gross Point Blank getting domed, but if he did, he'd go, bleh.
Bleh. Yeah. And, you know, any of the things he's in. When the judge got oral in Nothing But Trouble, he goes, mm-hmm. bleh.
But, you know, of course, when he's getting oral, it's being applied to his nose. Yeah.
Yeah, he just got kissed. But where's the Civil War come into this?
I think that scene takes place in the Civil War museum or something.
I've never picked up on. I am familiar with the scene, but maybe I haven't seen Ghostbusters in a while.
You might have been a little
I was jerking off in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was jerking off into a ghost mouth.
Oh, you were at the theater.
I was at the theater. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to get kicked out. And it was the second run theater because it was Ghostbusters and I was old enough to jerk off.
Yeah.
So it was like the
6 or 7
cool second run theater on, you know, Burnside or whatever.
No. Okay. Ghostbusters. I didn't start at 6 or 7.
I didn't start jerking off at 6 or 7.
Oh, cool.
1.
Yeah, this is absolutely he's in a museum. He's in a museum.
Okay.
There's velvet ropes. I think this is. Oh yeah. Okay. I forgot. I forgot to describe the part where his belt is undone by the ghost, and the eyes crossed. And the head goes back.
Okay. Presumably at the moment of ultimate male pleasure.
Well, hope not. It happens within about 2 seconds.
The ghost is
the
really
Fort
good.
Demering ghost, according to the wiki. The Fort Demering. Let's see, and let's learn about Fort Demering.
Let's learn about the ghost. Like, no. Get her number.
Fort Demering is fake. Fort Demering is a military fort that later served in part as a tourist destination. It was plagued by a ghost for some time. I might just be assuming the Civil War thing because I feel like there's a Civil War.
No, the fact that he's in a museum and takes the nap in the first place is something that got elided from my memory and is weird enough. I don't understand. I assumed that, I don't know where I thought he was at home. Like, I don't know where I thought he was during that scene, but it wasn't on the job.
No, he's absolutely on the job. Let's see. Like, yeah, they were resting.
He need to regain his hit points.
Okay. In primary canon history, he's sleeping in bed and he has a dream where he's here. But in primary canon expanded universe history, Ray Stan in 1984, Ray Stantz and Winston Zeddemore stopped at Fort Demering after a park ranger called a couple weeks ago. They split up in the gunner's corridor. Ray descended downstairs and searched the officer's quarters while Winston covered the armory. Ray eventually found the dream ghost in a unique encounter.
Do we know what kind of sex Winston had during in the armory?
I have to assume it was respectful missionary.
I hope so.
Respectful, like, which means eye contact respectful. And yep. Full consent.
And
no surprises, Gary.
Yeah. And it conceives.
Yes. The most respectful that a sex can go.
And that's how you have a half ghost, half human or daywalker.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to try to come up with a slur for that, but then it seemed like a poor use of my time.
Yeah, you got to spend less time trying to come up with slurs.
It's just we got these AI bots now, and it really feels like we got to bully them more. Oh, so part of the reason for this show now to exist is to tell you about things happening on Blue Sky.
Sure. I love that.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't get off Blue Sky for
okay, but like,
anything.
But you're hearing it from someone who you ostensibly like a little bit, although the Northern Lion thing still rankles a lot.
I like a lot, but less than some.
Would you if Northern Lion sent you a message tomorrow saying I would love to be on one of your shows? Could you replace Will on Guppy with me? What would you say?
Of course not. Like, really? Not even in a million years.
Really? But it'd be that'd be so fucking funny, dude.
It would be funny, and it would be great for the network. I'd make a lot of money from it.
It's it's all upsides from what I'm hearing.
Now that I'm kind of talking myself into it because I could pay off my house sooner and stuff. I don't want to do it because it'd be awkward, and I love you. You're one of my best friends.
I just think he's really
funny on stream.
I know.
It's not. I'm just answering questions honestly because that's what I do.
But I'm trying to get at this honestly too. I think that's too funny not to do. To tell me I am off of Guppy because Northern Lion wanted to do the show with you.
I honestly couldn't deal with your whinging fans. Like if that happened, like the I couldn't handle the Slack response to it.
I don't think I have any fans.
That's not true. I would not be able to handle it.
Oh man, I'm sorry then, because I'm gonna do everything in my power to make it happen.
It would be really, really good for me financially, and for Kay financially, and for Gwen. Like, we'd probably be able to afford to give Gwen a raise, like, in terms of the greater good.
Yeah. Which, like, obviously, again, I don't give two shits about. But artistically, it would be incredible.
It'd be very funny. Yeah.
Not the podcast itself. I think the podcast would probably get worse because you don't have a good rapport with Northern Lion. But the artistic act of evil?
Yeah. And I would eventually get that rapport. You know, me and Ryan would start getting along, I feel like. I think so.
You're no Chibbler.
I'm no Chibbler. No, but I could become. You know, maybe I just need to be inspired to be better than I am.
As if one views betrayal as an art, that would be a masterpiece.
Yeah, that's very War of the Lions.
Sure, thank you.
That would be rough. It'd be really mean. If you did it to me, I'd also feel very mean.
I couldn't, feel very betrayed. Because you own the show.
Yeah, I know. I would just stop the show from being published.
Yeah. You hit two buttons and Guppy goes away. That is not a power I have.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, if you decided just to stop doing it, you could make Guppy go away. You could hit no buttons. You could just use your voice.
It's true. I mean, I could... Right now, it's within my power to make Guppy stop. And not just by saying I quit, but by being so incredibly unpleasant that you stop.
Yeah. It's kind of in both of our power to do this. It's a real prisoner's dilemma kind of thing.
Ooh, you know? Yeah. I have been reading the TV Tropes pages for the Nonary games again.
Ah. Many prisoner dilemmas, many Sudokus.
Like, you it sounds mean, but no, the final puzzle of the first game is a Sudoku.
Just a Sudoku. We don't fucking know. Here's a Sudoku.
What if a little girl was so bad at Sudoku, she had to... everything I say after that part of the sentence is a massive spoiler for that game, so I probably shouldn't.
Yeah. It's a pretty old game, though.
It's a pretty old game, but it's a pretty big twist.
The, in speaking of kind of Ghostbusters relative era stuff...
Sure.
The, Liv and I over the weekend rewatched Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the film.
Nice. Yeah, no, probably my third favorite Robert Zemeckis film.
It's pretty good. It holds up real well. It's not funny like it is when you're a kid so much, no, but it's no. consistently entertaining.
And still looks good.
Still looks great. Tons of questions about that, though, that I didn't really realize, you know. And I found out they're answered in the novels, which I now want to read.
I have not read the novels. They are very weird. I know that. They are very weird.
I'd like to drop a couple facts on you, if you don't mind. One, the most recent novel came out in 2023.
It did. I have looked at that. Yeah.
It details how Jessica Rabbit was once a human and got turned into a toon. The second novel features Roger Rabbit's cousin, who's in an interracial marriage with a human and toon, and they have children. I gotta know how that works.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've read about them, some of the stuff in the books is the author who's... God, what's the author's name? It's not Tom Wolfe, but it sounds...
No, it's not
like
Tom Wolfe, but I think his last name is Wolfe. I think it's like Max Wolfe or something like that.
But... Some of it is just responding to the stuff that they... Because the first book is fairly dark and filthy. And then they got... So a lot of the things in his later books are like responding to how the book got censored and changed. Because it's all about like all metafictional and stuff.
The second book is about how the first book is a... Or the first book is a dream and the movie's plot events are canon.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. But I just need to know the mechanics of it.
It's Gary K. Wolfe. It's a Gary. Gary He's K. another Wolf. Gary.
That's why I knew I like it. I like everything by Gary. He's Gary Sinise.
Gary Larson.
That's Gary Larson.
Gary Larson Gary is Larson. Our greatest Gary. No offense.
I agree.
Okay.
Like, whew. Yeah, and I'm not even close to the you got Gary Gygax up there. Like we got a lot of Garys up there that, are pretty good. Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Gary Oldman. My dad.
Gary, comma, your old man.
Yeah. No. A lot of good Garys up there. And that's even before we get into like Gazes and Jerry's. But yeah, I just want to know, I want them to describe it. I want to know what the kids look like.
Oh yeah. I'm probably like, I mean, it's more interesting if they're like humans with some cartoon features on them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking about that. Like just one cartoon hand,
you know that's not how DNA actually works.
I was also thinking about how during the time of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is in the '40s, you know, World War II era stuff. Do you think there are anime toons who work for the Axis powers? Like, do you think Astro Boy is like an Axis plant?
I mean, Who Framed Roger Rabbit does not take place in the '40s.
I thought it was the '40s.
Hold on, I'm checking what year it takes place in, because this is gonna... It's 47, so it is one year post-war. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. They had animators in like, you know. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, Astro Boy is like, it's just interesting to think about, like, and the American toons don't fight for the war, even though they did in real life. You know, there's like cartoons of Bugs Bunny punching Hitler and shit. Mm-hmm. in this version, they just hang out in jazz clubs and do shit like that. You know?
Well, it's how do you know they weren't in the war?
Oh, I guess that's true. It's because a year after.
Yeah, maybe Bugs Bunny does have huge veteran energy.
Yeah. A lot of the characters have huge veteran energy in that.
Hey, buddy, you having a flashback?
Yeah.
That's me talking to Roger Benny? Rabbit.
Yeah, and he goes, please don't make me think about it again.
Wait, hold on. Is that Ignis? Is that my boy Ignis?
Yeah. No, that's Roger Rabbit.
Oh, sorry. Wrong Charlie Adler character.
Yeah, I can't roll my P's.
Gary, isn't it nice that you have a friend you can do a podcast with who immediately knows the voice of Roger Rabbit was also Ignis from Planescape Torment?
And that voice actor, No, that is very nice. Love that. And that voice actor was a presenter on the Weird Video Game Award things that Kay and I did for Adaptation Decay. And like, I can't remember if I talked to you about this. Just decided to kind of monologue for 5 minutes. It's insufferable.
Cool. Oh, that sounds like, really funny.
It's very funny. It's a really strange event generally. And that bit is very strange.
The vague sense I've gotten is that he kind of thought maybe he should be Robin Williams a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, really thought that him becoming Roger Rabbit was going to go everywhere. Which, makes sense. Roger Rabbit was huge. You know, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's why all those people have Bob Hoskins tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bob Hoskins doing Jessica Rabbit.
I guess... Gary, Jesus. They're married.
Yeah, but, I mean, they could go to the Velvet Rope.
What's the Velvet Rope?
It's a swingers club over on 39th and
Why do you keep a track of where the swingers clubs are, Gary?
I as a callback to the green room.
Okay. Well, yes, Gary and I did talk about this in the green room, but it felt more true to the conversation to maybe let the listener in.
Yeah.
Through a little selective ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a swingers club. You can fuck Jessica Rabbit there on certain nights.
Interesting. That would be okay. Yeah. Do you find Jessica Rabbit attractive?
Not really.
Me either. I like human women with bodies.
Me too. I don't find cartoons attractive in a general sense. And also,
what if
I don't
my
like
actual answer is no? I find Kathleen Turner's voice mannish.
Yeah. No, I find Lena the hyena attractive.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. I know. Well, there's something hot about a girl who wants it. Like,
so much that she will kiss her way through a solid wooden door.
Yeah, consent doesn't exist in Toontown. It's one of the reasons why we got to tear it down. Like, one of the reasons why Judge Doom was right.
Well, I mean, you got even the paragons of the town, Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny, are pulling some really cruel tricks with parachutes.
Yeah, and I love that scene because Bugs Bunny is the operative person in that, and they can't even, in this scene, they can't even make Mickey Mouse have agency. He just has to go, yeah, like, also do that, because he's such a fucking non-character.
He really is, except, of course, in the Kingdom Hearts universe, where he's a very active, powerful force.
Yeah.
Really redeems the character.
He doesn't have interesting opinions or anything, though.
Oh, you have not watched Kingdom Hearts 3 then. He definitely gets into some thoughts on
immigration.
Yep. There we go. Thank you, Gary. I couldn't think of anything political.
Yeah. The Mickey Mouse.
Oh no. But yeah, I don't agree with a lot of things that the administration does, but I do like that they sent the National Guard into Toontown.
Yeah.
That neighborhood you could not walk around without getting a wolf mask stuck fucking, on top of your head.
Yeah. Manslaughtered. It would be the manslaughter capital of the world. You could not live in LA in that world. Nobody drives in a straight line. Everyone is constantly almost being hit by cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if only they hadn't some evil conspiracy hadn't destroyed public transit.
Yeah, that's true. They hadn't gotten Chinatowned. No consent, no traffic laws. Like, it's a really bad city.
I also just made a reference to another deleted scene where Eddie gets a wolf mask stuck on his head.
It's a pig mask.
Pig mask.
And it's terrifying.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have you watched that deleted scene?
Yeah.
It's really scary. The mask, when he scrubs it off in the shower, the mask like cries as it's going down the drain.
Yeah. I don't like it.
the things that are alive in that, because like when Judge Doom summarily executes that shoe,
sure,
that shoe is certainly conscious and knows fear. Second,
and
that
pain.
Shoe is
it's
being sold
pain.
As a, it's feeling pain, and it's sold as a product in the Acme warehouse by a human.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's all kinds of fucked up shit going on there. The implications of that universe are no good.
I mean, Gary, the whole metaphor, like we talked about the veterans, the whole metaphor mm-hmm. of a bullet that can feel pain.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't
and
just
inflict
pain.
And then takes up a lot of the movie and then doesn't do jack shit.
The bullet doesn't, the bullets suck. They get that huge introduction and they just go the wrong way. They're worse than regular bullets in every way.
They get so much build up and then, yeah. and then they are not good at being bullets.
I hate the bullets. The only one that's cool is the one he shoots at the bottle and it's the little racist
yeah.
Native American stereotype bullet. And that is efficacious at least. The other ones just don't go the right way. Yeah. You know.
Is that your favorite Bob Hoskins drunks. Movie?
It's probably the best one, but I have such a weakness for the Mario Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is so much weirder. Like, I love that movie.
I'm a big Brazil is Terry Gilliam's best movie. Hoskins is really good in that.
I always forget that he's in it. I love Brazil, too. I just forget. Like, he's great in it, but it's just young Hoskins.
Yeah.
Like,
To watch the movie that has the really famous ending scene with him. Have you ever seen that scene?
Mm-mm.
It's a gangster movie. And throughout the whole movie, it's like typical gangster shit where he's just staying like one step ahead of his enemies and all that. And like, but at the end, he just gets caught and put in the back of a car and he is being led to his death. And the last like 2 minutes of the movie is just the camera locked on him. He processes that feeling. And it's some of the most riveting shit you'll ever watch.
Nice. Yeah, I believe he's a great actor. Like, yeah. I believe it. Is he still alive? Did he die?
No, he died in like 2000 or something.
Yipes.
A little bit after that, because he's in that Jet Li movie where he keeps Jet Li as his like attack dog.
Gotcha. Yeah. I hope that he gets Jet Li as an attack dog in the afterlife as well.
I think, 2014 is when he died. So I was fairly off there by saying 2000. I knew he'd been dead for at least a decade.
Yeah.
But I think we should all be reunited with our fictional human pets. Gary, is there a human pet club we can go to in Portland that you know about and want to name check? Like where
the
it's
rope?
Exactly. Okay.
Buzz Market. I bet you they have a human pet night. I don't actually know. That's so not my scene. I've just always been fascinated with that place. It looks compelling. Like when you drive by it. The Velvet Rope.
Can I tell you my problem with pet play, with human pet play?
Sure.
Seems incredibly hard on the knees.
Yeah. And you can't wear knee pads. Dogs don't wear knee pads.
They don't. Although they should. It just seems like whatever, stick a tail in my ass or whatever, like degrade me, fine. Just don't make me walk around on my fucking knees. I'm 41.
Yeah, I would want to be one of those dogs that's in a wheelchair. Like the dogs that have wheels.
Yeah.
Then I could be into human pet play. I just have to be that kind of pet, I think.
Or maybe,
like human pet play where you're a bird, or something. Just like hang out.
You never see people be. That's very funny. Like, because you're just like, you're not saying like down bad. You're like, just eat the nuts. Just eat the nuts.
Yeah. Just cut. And then you just can say, make the truck backing up noise. Or to say, hello.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's so fucking hot. Hello, hello. Oh, my God. You're going to become, hello, hello.
You never even see it with cats. Because I don't think.
Yeah.
Because cats don't really play into the whole submission thing.
It's really just the one obedient fucking animal.
That we all a little bit want to fuck.
It should just be dog play. It shouldn't even be called human pet play.
Because
like, nobody's being a fucking
play,
ferret.
Right?
I guess puppy, but that's also a dog. I guess horseplay is a thing, but that's different.
Yeah, that's
that just means getting kicked out of the pool.
You ever get kicked out of the pool?
No. Did you have a public pool phase? When I was a kid, we went to the public pool a lot. Hopkins Park?
Not exactly, but when I did summer daycare, because single parent, we had access to the pool there. So kind of.
It's a positive memory, like getting enough. It costs like $2 or something to go to the pool for us. And like getting enough money to go to Hopkins was a big deal.
Yeah, is that a natatorium?
What's a natatorium?
It's a pool.
Oh, I suppose it is then.
I think I think maybe a natatorium is specifically indoors.
Oh, then no.
A building or complex that contains one or more swimming pools.
I guess it was a complex because a complex can be outdoors. It was an outdoor pool. Also, I got married, Hopkins Park.
Oh. First time?
First time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of great memories.
Second time was Vegas, baby. Put it all on wife to win.
That's fun. Yeah. It was jackpot. Fun what you said. It was fun, yeah.
Thanks.
I got
married. I endeavor to be fun.
I got married in a park.
I remember.
You were there.
I was there. I was like your third best man or something. Fourth, maybe.
Is that where we had you standing?
It was somewhere in the third or fourth place slot.
There were only three. There were only three of you, so.
Yeah, definitely dead last in that case,
well,
I feel like.
You know, that's just a matter of seniority. You just don't have the years.
Yeah, and I said that thing on Northern Lion. I imagine John has never compared you unfavorably to another streamer.
Maybe Tom Walker. But
okay.
Yeah, Gary, I think all that means is you have room to improve for, you know, at some point, maybe Olivia and I will like redo our vows or something.
Sadly, because it's seniority based, the only way to improve is to kill your friends.
Sure. Whatever, man. You know, I don't question your methods. I only question your results.
I appreciate that. You respect the hustle. But I like John.
Yeah, he's good. But I do kind of like the idea of you, him, and Kevin just like figuring it out, you know?
Who do you think would win in like a fight?
I say this with no meanness attached to it.
I honestly would
like
to know.
Kevin might be smarter than both of you put together.
Okay. Put together?
Kevin's really smart. Really, really, really smart. Very thoughtful planner kind of guy. Kevin's one of the smartest people I've ever met. But he's also the nicest of the three of you. So,
and
I don't
the
know
smallest.
If he can, what? He is the smallest and the skinniest. John has a deep-seated well of rage that I think would serve him well. Like, if the three of you were just dumped into a pit with tridents and stuff, I think John wins.
Okay.
If it's just you each have a year to kill the other two or the bombs in your family's necks go off, I bet on Kevin.
Yeah. That makes
sense. The poison will have killed you before you even know it's in your system.
Yeah. I mean, I would do better in the first scenario than the second one, and I don't think I do well in the first scenario.
Which side of her neck does your wife like a bomb put in?
I love my wife a whole lot. It would be a powerful motivator.
It would, yeah.
I hazard that I love my wife more than either of those guys love their wives.
No, you are the one who is, I don't know. The idea of John trying to function without his wife is really sad to think about, so I don't know. She's great.
I love my wife more than he does.
Okay.
So I feel like in terms of motivation, I might surprise you. I know this is some real like team, you know, inspiration shit, like coming through with just like the want, but like I might be able to surprise you with that.
Yeah, you are the man currently trying to tap into the power of love and friendship to secure a win in a terrible fight. You are the one who is most shonen protagonist right now. I regret to inform.
100% in this scenario. And if it was the 1 year of planning, I'm still out. I'm fucking outdone.
I think you might lose Tridents, interest.
I would put it off until I was already dead.
Yeah.
Like I'd be like, I'll get around to this tomorrow. Or yeah, I would just buy like new locks or something. I don't think I would be very imaginative about it. I would play defensively. I'd turtle up.
Yeah, Kevin's down in Albany and John's in Kansas. I think you would have trouble with the planning.
Planning, yeah. And I'm an easier target. More of a public figure as well. It's probably easier to get a hold of me.
I mean, yeah, 39th and Caesars.
There's a strip club. We're also doing a meetup soon. Like, my OPSEC is fucking horrible.
It's really bad, man.
But if it were the Trident Pit, I might surprise you. I just want to throw that out there that there's a chance. Like, I'm not saying necessarily the better chance.
Do you go straight for a
Trident
or do you go for a net?
I go for a Trident.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
I'm tall. I have long arms. The additional reach of a trident, I feel like I could do some work.
Do you try to, like, lure the other guys towards the Gorthanc in the center of the pit, or are you being more aggressive?
I think that my genuine strategy in this...
Sorry, the Garthunk. If you narfle the Garthunk.
Do I narfle the Garthunk? I think my genuine strategy in this scenario is, because I'm driven by love of my wife and have gone into an emotional rage, the way that I would win is like when Dean beats up Dermot in Venture Brothers. It would just be being surprisingly very aggressive and lethal. Like, I'd be like thumb and eyeballs and shit. I'd bite off noses.
Gary, like, can I get a point for how close I was on Narfle the Garthok?
You did really good. That is very, very close. I definitely will give you a point.
The gladiator battle from the end of the Coneheads movies featuring Dan Aykroyd.
Like, crossing his eyes, getting his, when he gets his cone honed.
Yeah.
Yeah. What should people do if they like this show?
It's unclear.
Yeah. No, this is a good episode.
Hasn't come up.
Last week, I was so sad and tired.
Yeah.
When we recorded, I don't know if it makes for a better episode, but if I'm in a good mood, I have such a better time on this show.
I've had a lovely hour-long conversation with you wherein we exchanged a lot of ideas and ultimately settled on the neck bomb as the ultimate motivator for team building.
It would motivate the shit out of me. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV/neckbomb. And you can put a neck bomb into one of DuckFeed's lucky hosts.
Yeah. Boy, I hope it's me.
Me too. You can leave a rating review.
We'll do one from Podcast Addict today. This one from Autumn M. Gary is correct. I am honestly pretty upset about his level of magic knowledge. That's a 5-star review.
Oh, good. Success.
It's nice to have an effect. It's nice to be right, and it's nice to have an impact.
It's basically existentialism. Like, it's Sartre. You know, if I'm going to let people boo when I go to the gallows, just don't let them do nothing.
I've been genuinely thinking about the fact that Baby Steps might end up being my game of the year simply on the metric that it is the game that has made me feel the most.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of those feelings have been positive, but they have been strong.
Yeah. Yeah. That is certainly that author, that horror author?
Sartre.
Yeah, there we go.
Sartre.
That horror author, Sartre.
Yeah.
I was thinking of I want to end the episode, but I was thinking of the guy who wrote the Intensity book.
This could be 2 hours, man. We can keep talking. I'm having a nice time chatting with you.
I am having a nice time. I've got to do stuff.
What you got to do?
I got to play Fear, and I got to start working on my panel stuff for PRGE.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting my jab today. Getting rejabbed.
I got to get rejabbed as well. I could go do that today. Fuck.
Oh, and actually, let's do a little mild promotion right here at the end. You are going to be at PRGE doing two panels. You're doing Retronauts and also doing a Watch Out for Fireballs panel. The Retronauts panel is on Saturday. You and Kay will also be walking around PRGE.
With you.
On Saturday, you will be walking around PRGE with me.
Yeah. Sadly, Gwen can't make it.
That sucks.
Breaking news. Gwen? Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer. Also, if you're coming for the panels, in addition to us doing, you know, that Retronauts panel, we're guesting. Okay. They're guesting on ours as well.
Oh, fun.
So we're teaming up. That Saturday, we're having a meetup at Quarter World.
Yeah.
At 7.
Bring your ID. They're pricks about it.
Bring your ID. They're pricks about it. Also, bring your PRGE pass. You get them for free.
They're nice about it.
Yeah, they're nice about that part. You got to bring your ID, though. And it's a good arcade.
Yeah, I haven't been there since the good arcade opened, but...
Yeah, the better arcade. Also, I don't really drink anymore, so I have no idea what a meetup's going to be like.
More socially awkward. I will have at least a beer there, so...
Yeah. I'm looking forward to off-sourcing my socializing to you.
That's an interesting tactic, Gary, and it won't bite you in the ass at all.
I love being bit in the ass.
Do you think they're going to have the Tesla coil going?
No, they only do that on certain nights.
Yeah.
Boring trivia. The first time we did a meetup there, I got an email conversation with the guys who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what if you did like a custom show, you know, or did a show or just did a show that night so people could see it. And then what if I gave you the MIDI file for the theme song to our podcast? Could you have the Tesla coil play it? And they started kind of like trying to rattle my cage price wise.
Yeah.
About it. And I had to bow out. I didn't have the money for it.
Sure.
At the time. But it would have been real cool.
That would be cool.
You know, I would have enjoyed having a cell phone video of a piece of music I wrote played by a Tesla coil.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah, that would have been a nice feather in my cap. But they wanted more money than I had. So
yeah, what were they talking? Or let's say numbers.
I don't remember. Years ago. So it could have been, you know, like a few hundred. It was like north of $300 or something. Like,
okay, yeah.
And it's just like, you know, I don't have that money. This was me really poor as well. This would have been when I was working part-time in the escape room. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't even podcasting full-time. So no money.
Yeah, man, that's a real shame.
Would have been cool.
Yeah, I was not expecting this part to kill the energy of the show so much.
It's really depressing. Now, everyone write in a review with the thing that you didn't get to do.
In life, right? Like, there's something. Like,
is it have a kid? Is it get married? All the things.
I had the nightmare where I was cast on Saturday Night Live again because they started a new season.
Is that true?
That I had that nightmare? Or that they started a new season? Both are true.
Did they start a new season?
They did. It's that time.
That's true, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that was a nightmare thing.
It's a night, like during the dream, it's fine. And then I wake up and I remember that I was, you know, a nobody.
Yeah.
Never really made it.
You'd be one of those people they forget about. Like, it'd just be like a third order AV club headline when you decide to leave.
Yeah. A real Robert Downey Jr. type. Yeah.
Yeah. I always think of you as an RTJ.
RTJ?
Run the Jewels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No Ghost.
That would have been a really good time for me to know a Run the Jewels lyric to drop.
Yeah. It's a shame. You should listen to Run the Jewels. They're good.
I like them, what I've listened to, but I just can't quote them. And if I tried, I'd probably say a slur.
Yeah.